So, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Lord. Thank you for another day in the kingdom. Yesterday was the anniversary of my ordination as a priest. I was ordained 16 years ago, and I can honestly say that there's never been a moment in these 16 years that I didn't truly believe that I was called to this vocation. This morning's reading in Isaiah is one of my favorites and reminds me of what it is that I am actually called to do as a priest. Growing up as a good Episcopalian, I did not have what I would call an intimate relationship with the Bible. I'm not sure why, but what I began doing was to look up the passages that I saw on license plates. I was behind a vehicle one day, and the reference to Isaiah's words this morning were embossed on their license, right there in front of me. So when I went home and looked up the passage, it was a deep spiritual revelation to me and a deep, very intimate moment with God. And it was clear to me that I had work to do. And that started the journey towards my ordination. One of the journeys, because that wasn't the first time. I'll tell you about that another day. The message of this license plate moved me, as I said, to investigate my call, specifically the role of chaplain in prison. At the time, I was employed as a juvenile probation officer, and in the context of that obvious, odd sort of situation, I felt called since I was especially understood what it was that these young men and women might need. I did started out in adult prisons and then moved into the juvenile prisons and eventually served as part-time chaplain at the Beaumont Juvenile Correctional Center. The kids I supervised were either incarcerated or on their way there. So I had an insight into what they might need as I ventured into this new role. That seemingly conflictual call was actually right on time. That shouldn't have been a surprise to me, because God is always right on time. God knows what God's doing, and since my ordination, I have to say, I have not re-engaged in prison ministry, but it seems as though every time I look for a way to re-engage in that form of ministry, there's a roadblock, and I've learned that when doors don't open, that you need to stop and say to God, well, not this door, what is the door? I feel pretty confident that this is what God, right now, what I am doing in every part of my life, is where God wants me, where he wants me to be right now. And sometimes I truly question the confidence that I have in God and wonder if I'm avoiding a call to something else. Am I avoiding being a presence to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners? What I have done is come to a place that where I realize that doing salvation work happens everywhere, every day. For me, it needs to be an important discipline to revisit this question on a regular basis. At this point, this moment in time, I am 100% sure that this is where I'm supposed to be, exactly where I'm supposed to be. One of the no's, the don'ts, in a lot of preaching classes and from a lot of preaching professors is that you should never use the word I and you shouldn't talk about yourself. But I found it very difficult to not talk about myself as I read and listened to the Isaiah passage. And I'm hoping that maybe in some of my eyes, that you'll hear a you, and that you will understand that wherever God has you, that's where God wants you to be. Right here, right now. Isaiah is calling us to consider our commitment to salvation and mission. In a world that is oppressed, it is closed to the brokenhearted, to the captives, to the prisoners, and he wants us to proclaim, he wants them, which is us, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It's the year of the Jubilee, and the year of the Jubilee, if you don't know, is a year when everything is forgiven. People who owe debts, they forgive the debts. People who are in conflict with one another resolve their conflicts. So in this time of the Lord's favor, they were called, and we are called, to be the voice of salvation that Isaiah calls us to. Now, sometimes have the thought that salvation is a ticket to heaven. The word salvation is rooted in the word save. A gentleman, Scott Bader, asks the questions, what are we being saved from? Whatever it is that we consider the answer to that question should be, it seems to focus on there's this dichotomy of what are we being saved from and what is our job as missioners to go out and help people with salvation. In other words, salvation is not future. It's not a ticket to heaven. Salvation is the act of being Christ in the world and bringing others to God. It is our focus, should be our focus, to bring people to Christ and to make sure they are saved in the sense that being saved isn't some futuristic promise only. Being saved means that we are in the kingdom right now and that God is watching over us. And no matter what, God will never, never turn his back on us. That idea of being saved being some futuristic promise is kind of like, well, what if that's the case, then what am I doing here now? Well, what we're doing here now is proclaiming that, yes, Christ will come again. Christ is here with us, among us. He walked with us. He walks with us. What we do for God points towards a future promise that is true. But also what we do for God is essential to being the bearer of the good news, not because it'll get us into heaven, but because it offers us an opportunity to be the carriers, the messengers for God's love and justice. And it takes away the spotlight from that angry God that some people say to Christians, well, that God is so angry. How can you worship a God that's so angry? But see, he isn't. That's not who God is. We'll have to talk about that in another sermon because that's a big one. When we think about anger, we think about anger in terms of how we are angry. When we think about God's anger, we perhaps need to think about it as an understanding of how much God loves us. None of us has ever had anybody that we loved that we sometimes didn't have to tell they needed to do something different. And we don't do that because we're angry at them. We do it because we care about them. We care just like God cares about loving us and about righteous justice. So the kingdom of God is not just rooted in future reward. The kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of God is eternal. Proclaiming the kingdom news is how we can make a difference in the world. There are many places that need to know and hear about God's good love and justice. We don't have to wait to go on a mission trip. We don't have to participate in some community outreach to be a minister in the world. What we have to do is carry the light of Christ in our hearts, the light of Christ that can never be extinguished. No matter how much darkness the world embraces us in or tries to, it can never extinguish the light of Christ. In our gospel reading this morning, in a sense, when I read it, I feel like John is leaping for joy one more time. The same leap of joy that he had in Elizabeth's womb. The leap of joy in the anticipation of the Savior's coming. For us, in 2 weeks, Jesus will come. He will come again. Not the way that we imagine as the final judgment day, but he will come again to us as an innocent babe. Does something in you leap for joy in anticipation of this day? Are we a voice crying out in the wilderness? Are we like John, boldly proclaiming that Jesus is the light of the world? Are we excited? No matter how dark the world gets, we need to know that we shine in and around and with the light of Christ. We read about Mary's song this morning also, and I always ask the question of myself, do we have the joy and faith of Mary in our hearts and in our lives? Here she is in this really odd predicament, and what she says is that my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She doesn't say, oh Lord, what the heck am I going to do? She knows that she is living into a promise that was made to her fathers and to Abraham and to all of his children forever. The final words of the Isaiah passage this morning are, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations. That cause is through us. So I hope that in these next 2 weeks we anticipate with great joy the birth of our Savior, with great joy the hope that that birth brings, with great joy, the promise that that coming brings. And that we can take hold and know that no matter where we are, no matter what we do, that we are ministers of the word, that we need to carry that with us and offer it to others, no matter what. Amen. Please join me in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.